This is The State of Things, and we're live from Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. In the 1960s and 70s, Greensboro was a hotspot for R&B artists like Little Richard, James Brown, and Otis Redding.
These arms are mine. They are lonely. Lonely and feeling blue.
And when big-name artists like Otis Redding and others came into town, talented musicians from across the state had a chance to rub elbows with them and sometimes even perform alongside them. A new documentary, Gate City Soul, transports viewers back to this golden age of R&B in Greensboro. It also documents the lives of musicians who got their start in the house bands with these legendary artists. Doug Klesch is a filmmaker behind Gate City Soul, and he joins us now. Hello, Doug.
Hi. Thanks.
Also with us, Roy Roberts, a blues guitarist who's performed alongside artists including Eddie Floyd, Stevie Wonder, and Otis Redding. So, Doug, what got you interested in this topic?
Well, I've lived in Greensboro for probably about 20 years at the point there I started looking at the subject, and I was just doing a lot of reading about the era, the Chitlin' Circuit era, 1960s, 1970s, and came across an occasional reference to Greensboro. Nothing was really elaborated on, but they would mention that they stopped. So I did what any post-millennial would do and start Googling, I started coming across these record labels and saw that there was music being made here, started coming across the names of the clubs, and really found that there was a very rich scene that I hadn't heard about just from living here. Started talking to some friends who had lived here through that era as contemporaries, people that were 18 to 20 years old, and they didn't really know too much about it either. So I figured I would reach out and talk to some of the folks who had lived it.
So describe that scene, it because we're talking about national artists, some of them just beginning their careers, but they're touring and they're making the trip from Atlanta, heading on up to New York. They make a little side trip to Greensboro, and apparently nobody skipped Greensboro, right? So there must have been a lot going on. What was happening here?
So I think in a lot of cases there was a built-in audience. There were clubs already there. There was a radio station that catered to an African-American audience. There were colleges like Bennett and A&T, and the clubs on the east side of the town would draw an audience for those artists. So I think they knew that if they called up and they said to the club owner that they were on their way, that they were gonna sell out the house.
Let's hear a little clip from the film Gate City Soul.
Greensboro was seen as a must stop between DC and Atlanta.
It was a good town for partying and having fun.
Greensboro was on the Chitlin' Circuit.
The cornerstone of the Chitlin' Circuit here in North Carolina.
Backwood Club, out in parking lots, back of houses, that's what's called the Chitlin' Circuit.
Greensboro was once a great big city. It was bigger than Charlotte or Raleigh or anything. The Coliseum was bringing the biggest acts, man, they were bringing everybody.
It was something about the atmosphere in Greensboro that groups did well here.
There it is, a clip from the documentary Gate City Soul that tracks the R&B scene in Greensboro in the 60s and 70s. I'm here with filmmaker Doug Klesch and guitarist Roy Roberts. Roy, tell me a little bit about that scene. What was that like? What was going on here?
Oh, it was a great scene back then. In the 60s, I came to Greensboro in 1960, started playing music in 61 and 62. And then 63, that's when I met up with Solomon Burke. Went on the road with Solomon Burke and Stevie Wonder had just come out with Fingertips, and he was on the show, and we had to back him as well as Solomon. And I just went on and on, man, playing with a lot of the different.
Where are they playing? Are these supper clubs, or describe, you know, where?
No, we were doing everything. Yeah. Carlos Sims, nightclubs, you know, just whatever was booked out there.
And how do you, so these artists come to town, they're not traveling with a band then?
Well, Solomon didn't have a band. Back then, when they first started out, none of those guys hardly had a band. Probably the only one had a band was Joe Tex. He had a band. But like Solomon, he didn't. And so when they go from city to city, they pick up a band. And just so happened, when they come to Greensboro, I was like one of the house band guys here in Greensboro. Yeah. So that's how I got to play with so many entertainers, plus going out on the road with Otis Redding and you know, and Eddie Floyd, William Bell. I played with all them guys in '60s and '70s.
Talk about how you got started, because you played piano as a young man, right?
Well, I looked at the pianos, a thing for the girls, you know. Uh-huh.
You thought they'd all be sitting around.
I'm in the house playing on the piano. My mom taught me how to play piano, but, you know, I look out the window and the guys, they all playing out in the yard and everything. I said, man, this thing is for sissies. But then my grandfather was the first one to have a television in our town, and I saw Jerry Lee Lewis and Fats Domino. I said, hey, there's some guys out here play piano, so I need to get back on it, you know. But when I saw Chuck Berry and Elvis Presley, guys like that, I wanted to play guitar. And so I got me a little cheap guitar and learned how to play.
And what was happening at the clubs, too, because I would think, now you're the house band, but everybody come to see the headliner, right?
Yeah.
How much attention do you get as a guitarist? As a backup.
Well, we were just the backup musicians back then, you know. Unless we had one of the other guys would sing. I was ashamed to sing back then because from coming from Kentucky, that voice was terrible.
Thank God you came to North Carolina where things really improved, right?
Yeah.
It was the air, the water, and suddenly you're a star.
It changed a little bit.
Well, so talk a little bit about that evolution, because you were encouraged to sing and take the lead. Talk about how that happened.
You really want to know how it happened?
Really want to know.
I first came to Greensboro, and so where I lived, there were some guys living next door to me, and they came up to me and said, let's go out to the nightclub tonight. Well, I'm a country boy. I've never been in a real nightclub. We got little juke joints out in the woods down in Kentucky, you know. So I said, okay, let's go. So we went to the nightclub. It was the El Rocco down on Market Street. Mm-hmm. And we went in, the club jam-packed, and just so happened that night, Jerry Butler was appearing there. And seven of us guys were in a car going out trying to find some women. Now, what woman want to get in the car with seven dudes unless she don't have her right mind? So we went in the club, and the club was jumping. It was jam-packed. And when Jerry came off the stage in the band, women was all over him and everything. So I turned around to my buddies. I said, look, don't ever come back to pick me up again. I'm going to learn how to play music, because these guys are gonna have any problem getting the women. That was one of the biggest mistakes I could ever make, okay?
Well, we're talking about the film Gate City Soul. I'm here with Roy Roberts, who's a blues guitarist. He's featured in the film. I'm also here with the filmmaker, Doug Klesch. Doug, Roy's got a great story, and he's got more to come. I want to ask him how he started singing solo and fronting for his own band. But talk about the other artists that were involved and how this really was a big deal for local artists.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the other folks that I feature in the film is George Bishop. He was an Asheville native, and he wound up getting a scholarship to A&T. And he had played behind bands like the Tams as a youngster, as a 13, 14-year-old kid. So he was in the scene out in Asheville, and then he came to Greensboro and got into the marching band at A&T and found himself surrounded by these amazing musicians. And A&T was also one of these places that acts would come through. So you had people like Jerry Butler and so on that would come and play at the college, and they would have talent shows at the college, and these guys would get together, and they would play all the hits of the day for the audience. And they really discovered, and people would say, hey, you guys are really something. So they would put together this band of people who could read music, they could play by ear, they were just these incredible musicians. So when these other artists would come through and they were looking for a band, it was guys like George and what turned out to be, they called themselves the Mighty Majors, because they were music majors. So it was guys like that would be able to play behind these artists and then eventually branch out to the road. So it's a pretty common story. Another big group is the Electric Express. Vic Hudson, he was a staple of the music scene here. I unfortunately did not get to meet him, but everybody I spoke to for this film just spoke so highly of him, and he was this thread that just went through the entire story. story and connected a lot of these folks because he was such a talent and he just had this ability to put together these bands.
Well, and also some talent. I mean, you know, people like Roy, you had a career, you were able to go and do some touring. And then there were people who had their own Maceo Parker, right? I mean, talk about the state of North Carolina in general. You know, Maceo Parker gets picked up by James Brown, Melvin Parker. And Melvin was actually discovered here in Greensboro, is that
right?
Yeah,
that's right, at the El Rocco Club.
So, so I mean, it also meant launching careers as well as... Roy, were you able to sustain yourself? How long were you on the road, and how long was music, you know, your career?
Well, I've been on the road for going on 60 years.
Okay. You talked about being shy and about not wanting to sing, but eventually you were encouraged to get out there, and well, I think it's because an act didn't show up, right?
Well, what happened on that deal, we were playing in Youngstown, Ohio, a place called Reed's Arena, and I was with Solomon Burke during that time, and the guy that opened the show for Solomon didn't show up. He was drunk or something. So Solomon said, "You gonna have to sing. Somebody's gotta sing." So everybody looking at me. I'm ashamed of my voice, but I said, "Okay, I'll give it a shot." Well, I knew a lot of songs, knew how to sing a lot of songs. So I sung a couple of songs by Chuck Jackson and turned the club out, man. Everybody going wild. I said, "Hey, the old voice is not so bad after all, you know." So that was my beginning to start singing, was Solomon Burke put me in a spot, man, where I didn't have any choice at the time.
And you used your North Carolina voice.
Yeah.
So that was good. What does that mean now? Were you able to do any recordings? Because I know that was a rough life in the recording industry. That's a whole other story in terms of how it treated artists. But
yes, I was playing with Otis, and then I left Otis and started playing with Eddie Floyd with Stax Music. And it was something about, well, when Otis got killed in the plane crash, I had a record called The Legend of Otis Redding, a song I wrote about him. And on the flip side was Got to Have Your Love. I think y'all got that in the documentary, a little bit of it. And the record did real good. In fact, Got to Have Your Love was a huge hit in England, and they're still playing it today. It's called Northern Soul that they play that music in and everything. So that kind of got me started. And then cut 3 or 4 45s. And then 1970, I started my own record company because I seen how everybody was getting beat out of their money and all of that. So I said, I'll do my own thing. So I hung out with Isaac Hayes and William Bell and Eddie and all of them to learn about the music business, asking questions, you know. And then I bought a book, Everything You Need to Know About the Music Business. Okay? And it was on then because I taught myself the business of law and everything that I needed to know to handle my career.
And now your son is about to open up a club in Greensboro.
Yes, he's supposed to open it next month.
So and, the legacy continues, but I want to hear some of the music before we run out of time here. So here's a little clip from Got to Have Your Love. Roy Roberts, Got to Have Your Love, released in 1968. Yeah.
Thank you.
They're still playing it. I'm here with him and Doug Klesch, who's the filmmaker behind the documentary Gate City Soul. Doug, let me ask you about the legacy. Roy is obviously still playing. His son's going to open a club. But talk about the larger legacy for the city of Greensboro.
Yeah, sure. So the scene here was really, and I got to discover this a lot. I was doing a radio show at the Guilford College station for about a year after I started making this, and I called it Gate City Soul, and I was really focused on it. And one of the segments that I did was called 6 Degrees of Separation, and I would say, pick a random artist, any artist, and I can get 6 degrees back to Greensboro. And I could do it. I wound up with this enormous flow chart of how all these things connect. But you've got people like Melvin and Maceo Parker who played from here. They went to A&T, they connected with James Brown, and then you get all these artists that are connected with Parliament Funkadelic, so you've got that whole scene. There's a really interesting story, and part of the house band at the El Rocco, in addition, when Melvin Parker was playing there, there was a gentleman called Richard Spencer playing saxophone. He was playing with Ben Collier and some of these other guys that were local. But Richard Spencer became part of a group called the Winstons. The Winstons cut a song on the B-side. It was called Amen Brother. That Amen Brother, there's a 6-second drum break in there that is the most sampled drum break in music history. Like 2,000 times. Every hip-hop song, every commercial, this thing has been broken down. So it comes right from here. It comes from Greensboro. And then you've got bands like, LTD and that kind of thing who came out of here with a lot of the horn sections from guys that played with like Sam and Dave. So we've got tons of connections, and some of them are just 1 degree, not even the 6 degrees. So it's a real focal point for music.
Great stuff, and the legacy continues. Doug Klesch, filmmaker behind the documentary Gate City Soul. Roy Roberts, a guitarist who's featured in the film. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can see the first 15 minutes of Gate City Soul at our website, stateofthings.org. State of Things is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, and Amanda Magnus. Robin Copley is our technical director. Al Wadarski also engineered today's show. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. You're going to hear some music from Barefoot Modern, who you will see Thursday at Oak Ridge Town Park Amphitheater in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, Barefoot Modern.
She's the queen, though so obscene, you'd not believe the words that leave her mouth. She knows not how to keep it clean, she herself can't figure out. Railroad tracks run.